He threw one high. He won that game off a wild pitch.
7-0 in the third, and there I go.
Trap to me, and I was like, oh boy. Coming out of high school, man, a lot of dudes don't understand like how tough it really is.
I'll take my odds at any day of the week.
Say that again.
I'll take my odds any day of the week.
Talk your shit, bro.
Ready? I'm ready. Never been more ready.
And we back with the 2% podcast, man. I'm your host, Kiambu Finches, and we got
Bro Coleman.
Oh my God. We got another special guest for you guys today. Let me read off some of her stuff, okay? Number one, Nike athlete, okay? Influencer, boxer, musician, okay? Got that. CrossFit Games participant, placed top five, and placed third in the CrossFit Games. We got Amy Bream on the set with us. What's happening?
What up? What an introduction. I'm honored.
Now. Yeah, we got to do our thing. So basically, man, on the podcast, we highlight the journey, what it takes to make it to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the guests that we have on are past or Division I athletes, mm-hmm. or they play a professional sport, what have you. And so only 2% of high school athletes make it to Division I level. That's across all sports. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with you, obviously less than 2% athlete. Okay, mm-hmm. So just for the people who don't know, give us a little background on who you are and just guess your childhood that led to. Yeah,
for sure. Well, I have a little bit of a unique story because I actually did not grow up an athlete. Mm. I grew up, like you said, in music, and so I'm from a really small town in Pennsylvania. Shocker. Missing a leg. So I was actually born that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a condition called PFFD. It stands for a lot of fancy words that I'm missing essentially most of my femur bone.
Yeah.
And so had a great childhood, loved music. And that's kind of where I learned my discipline from, of practice and consistency. It was very transferable when I started getting into sports. But that was my life until I moved to Nashville in 2014 to pursue music. And then I joined a boxing gym, and I was very self-conscious when it came to stuff with my leg. I made jokes about it and stuff, but I just wasn't very comfortable showing it or whatever. And then the boxing gym really helped me gain confidence and be okay with it. And then I learned how to kickbox, and that was something that was oh, I can't do this. And I sucked at it at first, real bad. And then I wasn't half bad because I kept staying with it. Yeah. I was maybe it hasn't been that I've been unathletic all my life. I just haven't given any of it a real shot. Mm-hmm. So opened up my world. So I started weightlifting, was stronger than I thought. And then which led me to CrossFit, which led me to competing. And here we are.
Now we're here. I want to flash back to the childhood. You say you didn't play sports, all music. Right.
Yeah, it was all music. Gym class was my nightmare.
Okay.
I've realized I could do, there are random moments. My left leg has always been pretty strong just to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do a few pull-ups here and there. Okay. But besides that, it was I was always embarrassed and self-conscious about it, when it came to physical things, and I just didn't have confidence. Music was it. I played the saxophone, I played the piano, I sang and, do everything that people in Nashville
do. Don't tell me you're saying that. I bust a note on this thing.
Now.
Yeah. But not playing sports as a child, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you, was there an urge that did you want to play sports? You just didn't think you had the ability, or you just the embarrassment of it?
Definitely wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I I would dream about playing soccer or track, something that wasn't just you're missing a leg, so mm-hmm. think about all the leg sports,
right.
But it was just kind of one of those things that I assumed that it wasn't possible, and so mm-hmm. My family was supportive, my friends always told me I could do whatever. They didn't really think even twice about it. They're like, oh, we forget you are missing a leg, and I liked that, but I never put myself in situations to be uncomfortable. And then in college, my brother-in-law called me out on it. And he was you have no confidence at all. What's your problem? Yeah. Straight up. We were at the beach.
Coating.
No, we were at the beach and shopping, and we stopped outside of a store and he literally just looked at me. He's like, yo, like, you don't look boys in the eye. You look at the ground when you walk. Like, you don't wear shorts. Like, what's up with this? And I was like, well, you're new to the family. So like, yeah, I don't know where you're coming from right now. But it was like one of the first conversations that, cause I like came back with some like self-pity, you know, and was like, why would I bother and all this stuff. And rather than like back up, which a lot of people up until then would back up at that point, he was like, no, like confidence comes from you and people respond to the energy you give.
Facts.
So he's like, if your people are weird around you, it's because you're weird. And I was like, dang, like it was not what I wanted to hear. Yeah. But at the same time, it was this moment where I was like, do I have the power to change this? Like, it's not my leg, it's me. And so I just started making decisions to change it.
I feel that.
Coming from Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania to Nashville, how was that transition?
You know, it was a lot at first. I mean, like, just practically speaking, I come from a town that's so small, I didn't even lock my car door. It was like that. It was like me. Yeah, it was like people, you know, we'd be in bed like, did I lock my car door? Whatever. Like, that's the kind of town that I come from. So moving here on a budget, living in a part of town where you do lock your car doors. Well, you lock your car doors everywhere here, but it was like a very specific part of town.
I gotta know what part of town it was.
I lived right off of Murfreesboro Pike.
Okay.
But it was like back, it was, now it's more developed where I lived. It was the type of place where when I told people like my specific place, like my apartment complex, they always responded with, you call me if you ever need me. Like, it was one of those places. So
I know where you're at.
But yeah, so it was like I kind of needed that, like, welcome to adulthood situation. But I loved Nashville. I studied actually music here for a semester, like at a music program. So I knew like a few friends out here, and you know, it's like, I moved out being like, I don't know exactly what life holds, but I kind of do. I had no freaking clue. It was like so much harder than I thought it would be. But it was the best thing for me because it forced me, like, I didn't have anything comfortable around me. So that's why, like, I joined the boxing gym. I was like, no one knows me here as like music unathletic Amy. I can be whatever I want. So I was like, so let's just give it a go.
What was that? What was that first day like in the gym?
It was pretty scary. So at that time, I actually like, so obviously I've always had like a prosthesis, they call it the fake leg. But I had a cosmetic cover over it because I wanted to like, blend in.
Okay. Yeah.
Which it was funny because it actually made more people stare because they'd be like, something's up, but I don't really know like what it is. Like, they're like, oh yeah, the leg's not there. Yeah. Like, it made it very easy after I like took the cover off, but I didn't do that till I was like 24. So I joined the boxing gym when I still had the cover on, and I didn't tell any of the trainers and like until like 2 months in. And they were just like, we knew something was up, but you know, it was whatever. And then around the same time, like, I decided to get a new prosthesis made and like figure out a better way of attaching it and all this stuff to be more active. And I remember like calling my best friend in the bathroom, like before walking out and being, and like having a panic attack. I was like, I'm about to let these people see all of this.
See me.
Yeah. And it was like, she was like, listen, you're doing this for a reason. Like, you'll be fine. And it wasn't easy, but it was fine. And in the long run, it made it like way better. Cause it was just, again, like now I prefer showing, cause it's like, you got questions, just ask, it's right there, you know?
How would you say boxing has gave you that confidence, and who, and to kind of a two-part question, who would you say also is one of your biggest influence you have had in life?
So boxing's definitely given me confidence. It was the first time that, one, I was like active with my body and I enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't this like forced workout. Like, it's really fun to hit shit. Yeah. You know, I just had fun, you know, and I was getting better and didn't feel the pressure of like a gym class or a team. And I was like, and the trainers there too, I will say, when I was a member, they were like, they weren't afraid to tell me that I could be better, which I think for when you have a physical adaptation and you go in public, a lot of people are like, good for you, you're doing it, which is why I avoided it for a long time, because I was like, yo, I don't want pity, I want to be good. So like, make me good, or like tell me what I'm doing wrong. And this gym really did that for me. And then, so I just gained confidence with that with time. And what was the second part of the question?
Who would you say is your biggest, has been your biggest influence?
I would say, I don't know if I would say like one particular person. I know when I say that, I think when people ask that question, they usually expect me to say like someone pretty famous. Mm. And for me, I think like one person that comes to mind is a girl. She was the first girl I ever met and spoke to that also was born with a birth defect like mine. And I was like able to ask her, like, I remember calling her, someone had referred her to me and she's like, yeah, call me with questions. So I did. And she was like describing the most simple thing when I would take a step. She's like, you know, when you take a step and you turn and your body does this, but your brain wants to do this because your leg is doing this. And it was like the most basic thing, but it was the first time, I was 24. It was the first time in my life that anyone could actually like speak my language. And I was like, holy shit. Like someone gets it. Like I'm not alone. And it was this, the first person too, that I was like, hey, do you mind if I talk to you about like, what's like dating been like for you? What's like X, Y, Z? And just, it was a moment where I was like, I want to be this for other girls. Like I, cause it literally changed a lot of how I viewed myself and my leg. But I think in general, like I'm most inspired by people who can live everyday life and do it well.
Yeah.
Cause like integrity is not, it's very hard to find. I think the older I get, I like find that more and more. And if you can do ordinary shit well, then you'll be able to handle great things well. And yeah, that's
a bar.
That's
a bar.
So yeah. That's I okay. Yeah, that truly is what like impresses me the most.
So we at the Boston Gym,
mm-hmm.
We're transitioning into a little bit of CrossFit. Mm-hmm. What made you start posting this and you know, yeah, stuff just starts to gain traction and more? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It all was like a cycle that led to itself because I started posting on my own in like 2017. It was actually right after I decided to specifically make music, not like a job anymore. And that was really hard for me because up until that point, it was like who I identified as. Like,
yeah,
ask anyone from home, they're like, Amy, music. Like that was just who I was. And I was like, hey, like all of the joy is out of this now that it's become a forced thing, or that's what it became to me. And so I was like, I want to keep my love for music. So I'm going to do it as a hobby and do other things. And so I had some friends be like, have you ever considered like sharing about your leg? And I was like, nah. I was like, who's gonna listen to that, you know? And so I started posting and like started to make this Instagram, and it was like this accountability because I was telling people try new things. So I was like, well, I better go try new things. So at that point I had joined the boxing gym, but everything else was new. So I like tried skiing, rock climbing, wake surfing, like a bunch of stuff. And then eventually like that brought me to CrossFit. And I actually didn't start CrossFit till 2021. And someone, so I'm like really new to that sport. And someone reached out on Instagram and told me about it. And I was like, y'all are crazy. Like I've seen CrossFit. I was like, I can weightlift, but like I can't snatch. Like I can't clean, like, or I couldn't clean well, that's for sure. But any of like the skills of CrossFit I had never done. And I was talking to a friend and I remember saying, I just don't want to look stupid. And she was like, your entire platform is like, try it anyway. Yeah. And I was like, dang it. Mm-hmm. So that's what made me start accountability to like what I had been preaching to everyone else. And it just naturally went from there and turned out I was better at it than I thought I would be.
So you did your first year, what you said it was 2021, and you did the first CrossFit Games in 2021.
Yeah, I was months into CrossFit.
So that same year. Games.
Yeah, it was like very unexpected. I was not, I like tried it and I was like, let's see how this goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your training routine or regimen like, mm-hmm, like leading up to the CrossFit Games?
So the first year was very different than what it is now, I would say, because it was kind of that, like everything was so new. It was so much fun. I was like working out a lot, obviously, but it was focused training, but not as nearly as focused now. And it was the first year of adaptive too. So there's a little bit more open space for that than some of the other divisions, I'll be honest. But so I was working out a few hours here and there. And then when I found out, like, I didn't even know I was going to go to the games. It was that they weren't sure if they were going to have adaptive divisions. And 6 weeks before, I was at the beach, like drinking a margarita. And 6 weeks before, I got an email saying you're going to the CrossFit Games.
Hello.
So yeah. So who became my coach that year, I like called him. I was like, yo, this needs to be a thing. And so he drew up, like, we had been working out and he had been programming for me, but then it became like training program. And then ever since then, it's just gotten more and more like,
intense.
Okay. I've obviously like gotten a lot better with time and everything, but understand the training regime. And it's not just like I mean, it's a lifestyle.
Truly. It is. Yeah. I'm sure you got your nutrition has to be on point. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Balance of the cardio days versus the
strength and all of it. Yeah. Okay. And like CrossFit prides itself in like, they kind of, their whole shtick is like, be ready for anything. So it's swimming, it's running, it's powerlifting, it's strongman stuff. Like whatever they throw at you, they'll like throw a new skill at a competition and be like, how fast can you pick up on this?
Oh, so you don't know the events prior to?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No, you find out like usually around like between 4 and 7 p.m. the night before.
What?
And then you go do it the next day. Yeah. So okay. It's like not something you have to be like well-rounded in pretty much everything and just know my conditioning and strength capacity is here. And then you create a strategy before every thing, which is why so many people are drawn to it, because you're pretty well-rounded and it's like half of it is mentality and strategizing, because you can be in incredibly good shape, but if you panic, well, I mean, that's in every sport.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's just like, it is being able to like know your paces and know your capacity and also when to push and just like ride that line. So that's what I love about the sport. It's so much like thought process too.
I think it might be better that way too. Like not knowing mm-hmm. in terms of the actual competition, because if everybody knew what events you had, then it's kind of like just a big field day type of thing.
Yeah, you just, I mean, if everyone knew, like sometimes they'll release a workout or two early and of course everyone like tests it and like goes through it. But I've done that many times, but sometimes I don't like that because I get in my head about it. It's kind of like, I just want to strategize before I have to go into it. And then there's like a lot of grit that happens too, that you're like, yo, I mean, you guys experience that in games too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to put the practice in, but like adrenaline helps a whole lot too.
100%.
So. Yeah.
What would you say has been your biggest challenge within CrossFit?
I think like there have been quite a few. I've really enjoyed it. I think like being an adaptive athlete in particular, figuring out movements. I think one of the hardest things is like I train with a team now and I'm the only adaptive athlete. Okay. So like when people are like, what's your capacity? I'm like, I really don't know, because I don't know who to compare to. Because even if someone, like I'm in like what's called the lower extremity division, so I'll compete with other people with something going on with legs. But most of the time, except for like one, two competitions that I've had, I've only competed with girls with like below the knee amputation. So they have two knees or two legs. So even then it's like, I know what their capacity is. I know what mine is, but I really don't know what I'm capable of or what like humans missing a full leg are capable of. There's not really like a standard to set. So I think like working through that and being like, don't be a pansy, but also you're putting your body, your one leg through a lot right now. Yeah. Like I think that is like been a little bit challenging, but I've had fun with it. So
how did the Nike adaptive athlete come to fruition for you?
Yeah, so that actually, so first games went to 2021. The last day there, I had my very last event. I like got emotional in the event and a lot happened. Someone filmed it and sent it to me like on my way home. And they're like, hey, I hope you don't like mind. I like caught this moment. So I posted it and like it went viral. And I had never had an experience like that. Like when I had been doing Instagram for like 5 years at that point. I knew what it was to have posts do well and not do well. But I opened it like 10 minutes later and I was like, this is not normal.
How many views and likes did you have in that first 24 hours?
Oh, a couple hundred thousand.
Sheesh.
I think it is like 61 million views, like something like that. Like wow. I gained like a solid chunk of my followers on Instagram from that. And I don't say that to be like, look at that. But like it was truly like a life changing video. Like I got a ton of followers. And then I had done like a one-off thing with Nike in 2019. And it was for boxing. It was like someone, I think a photographer that I knew from the gym gave me their name and submitted me for like a campaign called Sport Changes Everything. So they came out to Nashville to interview me about boxing. And I remember I didn't touch a barbell at that point. Like I didn't do anything with strength training and 2019 about that. And they were like, so what's next? I was like, I don't know, but we'll keep going. Yeah. And I guess like someone on their team had just like my Nike rep had like knew my name from that. And when she saw the video, she reached out and was like, hey, we're looking. Do you want to maybe sign with us? And I was like, well,
maybe.
Maybe. So yeah, I had someone like help manage everything for me with it. But
okay, so you got the Nike and I know you were First Form. So like, how does those conversations go with all the other sponsorships that you that you have?
For those, honestly, I had like a close friend manage it for me, like contracts wise, because honestly, it was all very overwhelming. Like I was anticipating going to the games, having a weekend, coming home and like life back to normal. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I had like a bunch of people coming to me with like, want to do this. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't even know like this life, like what is happening right now? I'm 8 months into CrossFit. And, so yeah, she talked to me. She's an artist, and entertainment manager. And she approached me and she's like, hey, like, I just want you to be able to take advantage of this opportunity, but also be smart about it. And she's like, let me just help you out. And so that's been great. So she helped me out. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like a lot of things came at you all at once. Like being an athlete, like it seemed like one day you can be the worst athlete and the next day you can be number one in the world. Like how do you balance that on a daily basis, the good and the bad?
That's a really good question. So I have recently, this is going to make me sound like a nerd, but I've recently like done a lot of study and stuff on something called like a growth mindset, which has really changed it. Changed like how I approach training, which my coach the very first year, I'll never forget the day before the last day of competition, before like I was even in the event that caused the viral video. He was like, you need to know what you want out of this, because you can be a great athlete, but if you define who you are by great athlete, every time that you mess up, you will like, I mean, that there goes your worth, because your worth is being an athlete and you're more than that. So he's like, before any of this like goes on or even how this competition ends, you need to know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And that essentially, like, I didn't know it at the time, but that is the idea of growth mindset of like, you're not putting your worth in, or even like your motivation in a specific end result. Although obviously you want to do well, you want to perform well, but it's more in like the effort that you put in. And so that's changed my mindset a lot of like, I don't wake up. I'm a really big believer in like the power of your words and like what you say and how you say it to yourself. And like I've done a lot of work on that and I've seen really significant changes in my life because of it. But I don't wake up saying like, Amy, you're a great athlete. It's like, Amy, you have all the tools that you need to do well and to perform well. And when I don't, I can like sit back and logically think, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, what did I not do? What circumstances happened that this didn't go well? And so when I encounter hard stuff, it's not a sign that I'm like failing. It's a sign of you're doing something that you're not good at. And that's a good sign because it means you're getting better.
Yeah.
Or you need to like work through something. So it's more like, yeah, like changing my sign of like, this isn't about what the result is or what your label is. This is about the effort that you're putting in, which makes it not easy, but much like I'm much more able to handle the pressure, I guess.
Yeah.
Speak a little bit on the days when doubt starts to creep in.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's that? What's your process in getting out of that and back on track again?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, sometimes it's a little bit of, I don't want to say fake it till you make it. It's not about that. It's like facts over feelings. Mm. And that is a big thing that I've had to like grasp onto of there's always going to be doubts. That's one thing I think that I've learned in the last few years. Like I've had the opportunity to meet some people and like, you know, greater spaces and a lot of people like look up to them and I talk to them. And I'm like, oh, you experience the same doubts and insecurities as everyone. There's like, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I don't get intimidated usually when I meet people anymore because it's like, I don't care who you are. You wake up and you feel the same stuff that I do. I don't care what your life is. I don't care how much stuff, like I will respect that and honor that. But like you as a person, you are a person. And I think that has given me a different kind of assurance that like, if we all experience the same emotions, we all have the same ability to overcome them. So it's like when I have doubts and things, it's like the only thing that separates me from anyone else that experiences this is my like determination not to quit.
Right.
And so it's like I can have these feelings, but that's why, again, like positive affirmations or like the power of your words. And like I journal a lot because like I will, when I have bad days, and I have bad days for sure, I like look back at those journals and it's like, this is proof that I've actually gotten better. Like I take videos of my workouts, not to be like, look at me, but be like, this is a lot better than last year. Like you can't, it might not be how you feel a week ago, but like you are getting better and like feeling sit back. You need to look at the facts now.
Yeah. That's we were just talking about it recently, just the power of journaling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just as far as like baseball goes, the failing is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're gonna fail.
Yeah.
And so, but when those times when things are going well, mm-hmm. write this down. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I do start to go down, I can go back to my journal and look at these are the things that I was doing when I was on fire.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try to get back to this.
Yeah.
So.
I understand. Absolutely.
And when you journal, do you physically write it down or do you type it out?
I personally physically write it down. I think, like I've heard like studies show it like does better. Like it actually, you know, like when you're wiring your brain together or whatever, write it down is better. I'm also a believer though that like whatever is causing you not to do it, just lower that barrier so you do it. Yeah. So some people are like, they don't want to start journaling because they don't want to write it. It's like, all right, open up your camera and talk to yourself for 10 seconds. Like whatever you want it to look like, this is the ideal scenario, but like doing something is better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
So do something.
Yeah. No, I think that's key. Like, I mean, going off what Kiambu was saying, like athletes, people in general, I think journaling is just, it provides you so much success in mm-hmm. life and allows you to keep progressing. Like saying you go back and forth and look at your notes. And I think it's huge. Like that's something that we're always preaching and mm-hmm. go back to Vanderbilt. Like we're in our classroom and our notebooks for hour and a half on a daily basis. And obviously at a younger age, at 18 years old, you may not realize how important that stuff is, but mm-hmm. it's so important. And the younger you can start doing it at an early age, even at 6, 7, 8 years old, like I think that can help you progress so much in life. But that's great hearing you say those things.
Yeah. Oh, I am like a firm believer in it. It's helped me so much.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy for you and just I think society as a whole to fall into a victim type of mindset.
Yeah.
Like, why me? Like, why mm-hmm. is this happening to me? It didn't happen to him or her.
Yeah.
Like, universe, whatever you believe in, like, why is this happening to me? Like, what's your thought process on that? What you got to say?
Yeah, I've definitely had days like that. And I struggled with that more growing up, for sure, especially like middle school stage. You can imagine all the insecurities that brings. But at the end of the day, like your mentality, like that absolutely determines what you're capable of, and you can't change the situation. The only thing that you can change is your like mindset about it and how you view it. And it doesn't, like, one in every 200,000 kids get my specific congenital condition. Mm-hmm. I can wake up every day and think like, boo hoo, woe is me. But let me tell you, going to an adaptive competition and seeing someone have a seizure because they have a neuro condition and get up and finish the workout will make you shut up real quick. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, thank you God for my three limbs and shut up and work out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those, like, you know, sometimes I don't think it's helpful because sometimes, like, especially if I post something on Instagram, they'll be like, well, I have no reason to complain and I'll shut up. Like, I get that, but also to like shove down how you feel isn't always helpful. Cause I'm like, yo, if you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. You're allowed to have a bad day. But there are moments where you're like, but be aware of what you have. Mm-hmm. And that goes for me too. It's like, you're not a victim. Like, shit happens to people all day, every day. And I wouldn't be the person that I am now if it wasn't for my leg. Like, I have a very unique, life experience, but also opportunity to like empathize with people that I wouldn't be able to empathize with without it. So it's like, you know, you're given what you're given. And so, yeah, again, one thing that really like changed my mindset is what growing up, I can't go swimming with the leg on. So I remember another beach trip, a lot of life experiences happened mm-hmm. on a beach trip apparently, but I needed to get in the water and I was with my sister and I was feeling very sorry for myself because people always stare when I take it off and I literally have to like hop through the waves. I'm like, I was in high school. It's like, I don't want to do this. And my sister, I was like, I need like dad here, or, like something like to help me like feel better about like taking it off in front of these people. And my sister looked at me and she was like, Amy, like the fact that people will stare, you can't change. But why would you ever give a stranger that power over your life? Like, it's not ruining their day, you not getting in the water. It's ruining yours. And why would you ever give a stranger that power? Like, just take it off. Mm-hmm. And it was like, again, in the moment, I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to be pitied. But it's like, yeah, like me having that mindset isn't helping me. It's only hurting me. It's not hurting anyone else. So like, you might as well change it.
100%. Do you feel the weight of now being a quote unquote influencer? Like, do you feel that pressure of like carrying a torch for others and continue to spread this message? Like, does that get tiring or
sometimes?
Okay.
Sometimes, but honestly, not as much as I think people might think, because I think I've worked really, really hard about being honest. So like, I don't think I'm not perfect by any means, but when I post stuff, I try to be pretty genuine about like, there's not like, I'm not some like superhuman special, like I experience all the same emotions. So when I'm having like a bad time, I'm like, okay, sharing that, because I think that's most helpful. And if I know that if I ever have to make any like shifts or changes or whatever, I can't serve people well if I'm not in a good place.
Yeah.
So I think like that's whatever pressure I would feel if I ever start to feel like I'm performing for others or what they think of me, whether what then what's best for me. Like, I have some pretty like close people in my life who keep me accountable and will call me out on that if I start to do that. And I've had like friends be like, yo, like put me in their place of like, you need to check this, or like, this isn't you, or like, you're not in a good spot. You need to shift something. And like, that's been really, really important for me. So by the time I'm like sharing stuff on social media, I'm not processing on social media. I'm like, gotcha. I process with my people. I'm cool with putting this out there, and however y'all want to take it, you take it, because I'm good.
100%.
You have a great sense of humor when it comes to your condition. Like, we're all faced with challenges. Like, I'm short. Kiambu has a face only a mother can love. But like, where does that come from?
My family, yeah. My dad and my brother, like, we have always dealt with stuff with humor. I can't believe I'm going to say another beach trip, but like, I swear this all Speak always happens, it. Right? My brother, like, I had to take my leg off. I was self-conscious and I handed the leg to my brother and I was like, Matthew, you know, can you like take this back to the beach or to the towel, whatever, trying to be quiet. And my mom was like, they're making sure I was good. And he raised the leg above his leg and yelled, or above his head and yelled, damn sharks, and made the whole beach stop and look. And like that moment, like, I was so self-conscious and it just broke the ice. I was like, all right. Like, get over yourself. You're fine. Yeah. And like, that is definitely where I get it from.
No, that's great.
Cause you make a lot of jokes on your Instagram page. You do some short reels and whatnot.
I try.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm funny.
Yeah. I'm gonna speak on it. We had a guy on the team. He was a manager and he had two prosthetics.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And I don't know his specific condition that he had, but no one got a pass on the team. No one gets a pass. Yeah. Like, so from manager, coaches, staff, whatever, like, no one gets a pass. And I remember freshman year coming in and people telling me stories of how they take his legs and put it on the top on the top of the locker and he can't get his legs. And I was like, did I actually do that to that man? And
listen,
yeah,
you gotta use what you got. Like, you don't meet people with one leg every day. So like, if you can make the joke, as long as they're cool with it, good, make the joke. Yeah, yeah.
I got you. Who has been like some of the people you've been able to meet, you know, along your journey, this fitness journey, this your influencing journey?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've traveled coast to coast. Like, who are some people that you might know?
So for me, a lot of the people have been within like the CrossFit space. So I don't know if that would be I like train with some, like, Tia Toomey is one of the women that, like, she holds the record for the most.
Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
So like, she's on my team. Like Matt Frazier, who holds the record for men. Yeah. I did a Nike thing in Spain with him last year. Outside of CrossFit, the biggest person, this is really random. I actually did a campaign with Simone Biles. Mm, and that was, Yeah, that was cool. She's great. She's so funny and like fun.
How did that come about, you meeting someone? I saw it was something about Exonius.
Exonius, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were, it's funny, they're a cybersecurity company. And so you're like, what? Huh? Yeah, and I've always been like very particular about partnerships that I do, because I'm like, I don't want to be one of those influencers that I'm like, look at this cream, go buy this cream. And it has mm-hmm. like nothing to do with what I would do. I was like, no, if mm-hmm. it's not genuine to me, I'm not going to do it. So they reached out a couple times and I literally ignored them. We like laughed about it later. And then eventually I sent it to my manager. I was like, hey, this company like won't leave me alone. It's cybersecurity, so I don't know how this would make sense, but you can talk to them. And it ended up actually being one of like the most genuine, like one of my favorite partnerships, because their campaign, they were trying to like share story, kind of like we were talking about like baseball yeah. earlier, just like mm-hmm. share stories and relate it to it. And their campaign was called Controlling Complexity. So they picked me, and I don't even know how it was like me and Simone, like just, yeah, yeah. they picked two people for the mm-hmm. campaign, and they're like, hey, you're doing it with Simone Biles. I was like, okay. Yeah. And they were like, do you want to go for a day and like shoot with her and do an interview with her? I was like, I wouldn't mind it, you know? And it ended up being so much fun. And the whole campaign was based around like, when the big picture feels too big, you can control the small things that like lead to the big picture. So it was like very mm-hmm. genuine to obviously what she's done with gymnastics and her career, and me with like controlling with working out and CrossFit. And yeah, it was the best day. Like we started and it was super kind of awkward at first, because they like had this whole film crew and we were just like getting ready for what we were going to do later that day. So we're just like facing each other, and that's how we met. There's like a lot of camera crew around and they're like putting makeup on us, and we're just like talking and getting asked questions. But by the end of the day, we like did a lot of fun things with the company and some interviews and stuff. And I was just like, she's so much fun. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the day, we were like talking and
she
chilling.
Seems like she has like a big bubbly type yeah. personality.
She does. Okay. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I see a tattoo on your right forearm. What's the
Wait, this one?
Yeah,
this one. Oh, this is it's actually just Tennessee and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
When I moved here, I didn't have any tattoos, and now I have.
You had it.
Quite a few.
Who yeah. made you get your first one?
So this was my very first tattoo. It's called. It just says Humbled, and it's on. I broke my wrist. And I broke it in like 2015. It was before I wasn't working out a lot. Mm. I like stepped on like a tiny little box jump and fell, and my radius and ulna went on top of each other. Mm. And so I got surgery. I just moved to Nashville. It's my first year. And I realized how much I took for granted. I was like, you complain about your leg, but you've never said thank you for having two fully functioning wrists and arms. So it was just like, I just want this reminder. So I got it over my scar where I got surgery. And then I like to journal on myself. Yeah. So I got a lot of sense.
Tells a story though.
Yeah, cool. I got a lot of stories on here.
Yeah. I'm going to quote you real quick.
Tell me what okay. I said.
On your IG page, it says, mm-hmm. I still have trouble telling people I'm an athlete, but I think I'm starting to believe it. Mm-hmm. Speak on that, please.
That was
2022.
That was 2022. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I was actually the day that I went to first form in 2022. Yeah. And I spent the weekend with them and with some of those guys. And I don't know if you're familiar with their company, but like yeah. those yeah. people mm-hmm. are some of the realest. Like they're great. Like they live without what they say. And what they believe. And I was talking to some of the guys there, and they're like, they kept calling me an athlete. And I was like, yeah, but like adaptive. Like I just kept making all of these qualifiers, and they were like, you shut up. Like you're an athlete. And I was like, well, I grew up literally saying the words, I am one of the most unathletic people you will ever meet. I'd say that all the time to people. Like I'd crack jokes about it, because they'd be like, hey, you want to go play this game or this sport? And be like, I'm one of the most unathletic people you'll ever meet. Mm. And so it was such a mindset switch to be like, no, I'm like a sponsored athlete, and to not feel like severe imposter syndrome with that. It was like very difficult. And so they were like, you need to work on that, girl, 'cause you're an athlete. Like you need to start believing it. And then eventually like I like worked with their company, became sponsored by them. And, that was one of the things I really had to like not feel bad about for saying and for actually like believing. Now I do, yeah. But it took some time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're an inspiration for all, but specifically women and little girls. Like, mm-hmm. How does that feel for you?
That, in the least cliche way possible, that's like the most rewarding part.
Yeah.
I've said this quite a bit, but when I was coming back from my first games, right after I posted that video, like literally like 10 minutes into it, opened, I was like, shit's popping off. Like, I don't know what's going on. And in that car ride, I was talking with my coach and I was like, I don't know what is going to happen, but my biggest like concern or fear, you could say, is that I will become unrelatable to little girls. Mm. Like, I want a little girl, a middle school girl lacking confidence or whatever, to look at my page and think I can do that too. Or like, I don't want them to look at it and be like, oh, that's cool, but like, I can't relate. Like, that's too far out. So that's why in everything that I say and do, I try really hard to be like, there is no difference between you and me. Yeah, I'm at a different level now than I was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But it's because I've just not quit.
Yeah.
And I've like put in the work and the little habits and steps and decisions. And anyone can do that. I don't think people believe that, but yeah. It's really true.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you have natural affinities and like I picked up on things quick and that's true, but I just didn't quit. And I got really stubborn about it. So that's like, I want that to be little girls don't want to have, like, they don't have to want to work out or do CrossFit, but yeah. Just believing like you are fine and beautiful just the way you are. Doesn't matter what people think, go do your thing.
Definitely.
So
one of the last guests that we had on, the question was basically, what's your favorite restaurant in the city that you live in? Mm. Okay, so for you, let's go favorite restaurant, or you can go top two in Nashville, and then whatever your favorite city was that you visit in the past year, you can say the place that you ate there.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay, here, it really, this question is rough because it depends on what I'm in the mood for.
Okay, let's say you can never go wrong with this,
mm-hmm.
this place. What's that place for you?
Ooh, okay. See, that opens it up quite a bit.
Okay.
I'll say like, I love tacos. I love tacos. So like, if you're feeling like a fancier, whatever, Butcher Town Hall, y'all ever been there?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Germantown, that's great. If you just want, you're like, I want margs and really good queso, Rose Pepper for me.
Rose Pepper Cantina?
Yeah, just like real chill. Just like, let's.
Very chill.
They put a lot of tequila in their margaritas.
Okay.
A lot of tequila. But honestly, yeah, that's, I wouldn't say that's like my favorite restaurant, but like if that's what I want, I just want to chill with friends, whatever. But yeah, I like tacos a lot.
Have you been a Velvet Taco before?
Hmm?
Velvet Taco?
Yes, they have really good tacos.
Yeah.
Not a fan?
It's cool. I think it's just...
probably overrated?
A little bit.
I think, yeah. I hate that they only give you two darn tacos. You know, I'm not a
so
fan of
that. So you want the plate. You want the rice and beans with the tacos.
No, I just want four or five tacos for one order.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Don't give me two tacos.
Well, that's like, I feel like Nashville in general, everything's so expensive now. You're just like, okay.
Yeah,
it is. It's, yeah. But, okay, so in another city, oof. Honestly, I don't even know if I remember the places because I've gone to, they're really pretty quick in and out places. But when I've gone to LA, I've had some really, really good sushi.
Okay.
There was like one sushi place I went to. For like a Nike thing that I did, and that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you the name though, so it's absolutely no help to anyone. Sorry. Nah. Sushi's good.
Yeah. Last thing I'll touch on. I read on your website you talk about just dating and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what's the, I just hear a lot these days, just dating is crazy in general.
Yeah.
You know, and like, but what's Nashville like the dating scene in Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
There we go.
No, that was hard. No, I'm actually working on my mindset about this.
Yeah.
Dating in Nashville, I think it's really, really, like, let's call it what it is. Nashville's a very attractive city. So, okay. Like, there's just pretty people everywhere. Like, and I don't say that in, like, a annoyance. It's, I think it can be good, but also it's really easy to, like, be shallow about it and just be, like, especially, you know, like, dating apps and, like... you know, oh, you don't like that one thing about that person? Like, forget him. There's someone else, which right. is pretty, it can get pretty aggravating after a while. Like, okay, mm-hmm. like, and I'm just someone that, I don't know. Dating's an interesting one for me because I've never been like super, super chill about it. Like, I guess.
Super chill in my way.
Like, I don't want it, like, oh my God, we're going in the hot seat now. I think like now more than ever, I think there's a, yeah, like there's no reason to like commit in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I'm definitely not someone that sits down and dates like, tell me where you want to be in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. I can be chill, but also I don't want to be like.
Time wasted.
I don't want you to waste my time. If you want to date five other chicks at the same time, cool. I'm not your girl. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like one of those of like, that's not the most popular thing to say anymore. But I'm like, yo, if you don't know what you want, that's fine. But I'm not that's your good. Girl because I know what I want.
I got you.
Ben and Azra, are you a big country music fan?
Yes and no. I'm not like a country music's my jam. Like I more like, I like music. I love, obviously I love music. Like indie rock is kind of what I like. Go to when I'm like choosing my own music, but I like more like some of the smaller country artists. Gotcha. What about y'all? Do you like country music?
I hate country music.
Really?
never got with it. Like once I got down here in 2013, they was like, you're gonna fall in love with country music. And I'm like, no, I can't do it.
I'm a little different.
You like
I can I like summer songs. Mm-hmm. And I think growing up playing baseball mm-hmm. in Nashville and just on the travel circuit, every stadium that you go to or feel is just country music being blasted, so you kind of gets in your head a yeah. little bit. And then also, I went to private school from 7th grade to 12th grade,
okay,
and so a little bit of that
yeah.
going on as well. And so I kind of, I'm gonna say I outright just like country music, yeah. but it's just if it's around you all the time, you start yeah. dang that kind that sound kind of good a little yeah. bit, and then I start my foot start tapping a little bit,
like, no. nah, no.
yeah, and just being in Nashville my whole life, yeah. like you gonna hear it. But
for sure.
Yeah.
I do like I love Nashville that there's so many like places to like see people play live.
Yeah.
So I have friends that play country or but again, the country artists that I tend to gravitate to are not like what you hear on the radio. They're mm-hmm. not like the radio hits. That's like if it's on, it's whatever, but it's not what I'm gonna choose like press play on.
Give us your 3 to 5 songs or whatever songs that you have to listen to before you compete in your, in your CrossFit Games. What gets you in that zone?
In that zone. Okay. So these are going to sound, I will be shocked if y'all have heard of any of these, honestly. But there is a band called Colony House. They're my favorite band. They have a song called Cannot Do This Alone and Moving Forward. I actually have their lyrics tattooed on my thigh. There's a song called Monster by Jacob Banks. That like pumps me up.
I like that song.
Yeah, if I'm like gonna get in the zone, be like, let's go some shit up. Like, I'm gonna put that on.
One more.
Okay, again, these are gonna sound like really cheesy. Like, I don't know if y'all even come from this side of music, but have you heard of the band Switchfoot?
Say it again.
Switchfoot. Nah. The band Switchfoot.
I know he ain't heard of it.
All right. So they have, and this album's been out forever. I've literally heard it since I was like in middle school, but they have an album called The Beautiful Letdown, and it will like never go out of style for me. So they have a song called Meant to Live. And then okay. I'm like, I'm really big into lyrics because yeah. I songwrite. And so if it's a,
that's right.
Like yeah. I can like tune out if I'm in the middle of a workout, but if I'm like pumping myself up, I need to listen to the lyrics and like pull stuff from it.
Yeah, I'm more of a, if that beat hard, I'm with it.
From the south, from the south, man. Yeah.
In the middle of the workout, I'm that way. But if I'm pumping okay. myself up before, I need to like think about it.
Okay. Nice, nice. And last thing before we let you get out of here, mm-hmm. leave a question for the next guest. Leave a question for the next guest. They're most likely going to be some type of athlete or mm-hmm. in the athletic space, whether they are a agent, coach, executive, mm-hmm. somebody in the athletic arena. So you yeah. can tell your question towards that.
What do you want to be most known for? Mm. Like people think your name, this is what you're known for.
All right, go answer.
Oh, that I see how y'all flip the switch. Having integrity, I think. Like I have a mantra that I've always tried to live by example. So when people think of me, I want to think that girl lives by example.
She's congruent.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. What you say is what you do. Not easy, but important.
I thought he was going to keep going with the rhymes for a second.
Just getting into it, you know.
That's it. That's it. We appreciate you coming on and, you know, sharing this space with us. And, yeah, you got anything, little man?
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on. And, like, you are an inspiration to me. Like, just seeing what you do, like, just keep doing it. Like, keep going.
Thanks.
Like, wish you the best of luck. I know you're going to keep striving. The sky is beyond the limit for you. Like, it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hell yeah. Thanks, guys. All right, that's a wrap, people. And we out. Peace. Deuces.